In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
About to delve into some wonderful mysteries, secrets, and cover-ups on this planet and beyond, including the moon, Mars, and even our very own sun. These are all images captured on satellite that don't really fit with the official narrative. The new book from Mary Joyce is called Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-ups on Earth and Beyond. Just got my copy from Mary in the mail recently, and it's just filled with some incredible images, and we're going to discuss some of these satellite images and put them up on the live stream as well as we're discussing them. And Mary's a good friend of the program. She's worked for two major metropolitan newspapers, the Orlando Sentinel in Florida as an artist and a columnist, and the Oakland Press in Michigan as a Sunday magazine editor and then a feature editor. On the side, she's written magazine articles and books, and since 2008, she's been the main researcher and editor for a fabulous website called SkyshipsOverCashiers.com. skyships.com, skyshipsovercashiers.com. And the website features a wide variety of cutting-edge topics from UFOs to secret underground bases, from Bigfoot to Cherokee little people. She is the author of the aforementioned Spy in the Sky, also Underground Military Bases Hidden in North Carolina Mountains, Cherokee Little People Were Real, Tangible Evidence of Jesus Left Behind for Us, and Bigfoot Beyond the Footprints. Mary, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Fine. It's always good to see you, and I enjoy talking to you.
Likewise. Well, congratulations on Spy in the Sky. And we have talked in the past many times, actually, about how you use, for example, Google Earth and others to spot artifacts that appear to be to have some intelligence behind them, not natural formations, but artificial type artifacts found on the ocean floor or on other planets. But now you've collected them and put them all in one book, and it's again called Spy in the Sky: Secrets and Cover-ups on Earth and Beyond. Let's begin by explaining, I mentioned Google Earth, but what other, where else are you getting your images?
Many different ways, mostly with Google Earth. And I really want to emphasize that anybody in your audience can use this as a tool. Now, it takes a lot of patience because I've cruised Mars, I've cruised Antarctica, I've cruised the ocean, I've cruised many places. You don't find things right away. This has been over years that I have found these things, and I haven't found these anywhere else on the internet. So I'm dealing with some really fresh images that will be new to most people. The most different source that I have comes from a man who was from the Netherlands, and he contacted me back in 2013, and he was taking NASA SOHO satellite images. A SOHO satellite monitors the sun every 15 minutes. It takes a picture, constantly monitors it. He would take those NASA photos, which any of us can find on the internet, and then he would blow them up and clean up the debris and the interference. And it's astounding what he would find. Something that might look like a comet streaking across the sky near the sun proved to be something that looked like a giant extension rod with intricate metal parts to it. And these things are not like the saucers that we see in photograph near the Earth. We have two of them that he found we call them hotels. And one is the Phoenix Hotel, because it looks a little bit like a phoenix with wings. Another one was, we called it the Isis Hotel. Again, a similar kind of structure, but you zoom in and you see structure, you see metal, you see intricacies. Like I've never seen with any UFOs before. Those are wonderful. There's a bit of a mystery with him because we were in touch from 2013 to 2015, and then it's like he dropped off the earth. His YouTube channel ceased to be updated. I couldn't reach him no matter what. And I don't know if he just got tired of doing it, which doesn't sound likely. If he got sick, if he died, or if he was pressured to quit doing this, because NASA on some of their sites will deny that any of these things could possibly be real.
This is Mart Padmos.
That's right.
Gentleman that you're referring to. And
he wanted the world to see these. So whatever's happened to him, I feel like I'm carrying on his mission by including those photos in the book. And they're remarkable. All of them, absolutely all of them, are bigger than Jupiter. Some have a bigger diameter than the sun itself.
Right. You mentioned, and we'll put these, I'll have my live stream producer insert these up on the screen. We won't see them now as we're talking, Mary, but they will be up there for people to see when this goes to air. So you mentioned this image, or this artifact that appeared between the NASA SOHO, what does that stand for? SOHO? What is the?
Oh goodness, I don't know if I can remember. It's one of those acronyms, and I'm really bad at those.
Okay, but I've got it here. It
is a satellite that's always monitoring the sun.
Right, and
Yeah, I'm just seeing if I can get
it's like solar heliotropic satellite. I really don't
remember. There it is, Solar and Heliospheric Observatory.
My books are smarter than I am.
No, that's all right. These are Solar and Heliospheric Observatory. So you mentioned this image that appeared between Soho and the sun, and it's immense. Because, you know, keep in mind that the sun is...
round figures, it's like 860,000 miles across or in diameter.
Right.
And when you have things near the sun that are bigger than that, we're talking humongous, absolutely humongous.
Right. And so this image that appeared, or this artifact that appeared, it looks like a Thunderbird or a Phoenix. I saw the image that you sent me, to me, I thought of Thunderbird. These mythical, huge winged creatures, but a phoenix is another example. So Ryan will put that up there. So this was captured by Soho.
NASA camera caught all these. The problem is there's a lot of debris and interference, and this man had the technical expertise and computer expertise to clean up that interference and to clean up the debris so you could see the detail.
Right. It's up on the screen now. And then, in the book, you've zoomed in, or Matt Mark Padmos zoomed in, and then he sent you the photo. And as you say, you can see the this is clearly, you know, it's not organic. I mean, there are right angles on this, and it appears to be, you know, metallic in some way.
I've tried to find words to describe it, and I don't know why this image comes to mind. But if you ever look at a silver saxophone, you see all those buttons and you see the shiny metal and intricate keys. There's that kind of intricacy in some of the images.
Right. So can anyone access the NASA Soho?
Yes. Yes.
Just on your computer?
Uh-huh.
Wow. And it updates, it takes a photograph of the sun?
Taking a photo every 15 minutes. I will check in on it every once in a while, and every once in a while I'll get lucky and I'll see one of these things. Sometimes, you know, people will dismiss them. It'll just look like a distant shooting star going across in front of the camera. But when you zoom in on those, they're not shooting stars. They're not comets. They're something that's been made by intelligent beings.
So... yeah, if this was a satellite or something that was orbiting the sun, I mean, it should show up in regular intervals. I mean, that would be a huge task, you know, because for something to orbit the sun, depending on how long it took, I don't know, but it would be interesting to see if this flying, what did you call it, the Flying Phoenix Hotel, whether that showed up again. So do you also monitor the Soho Observer?
Not with regularity, but I will take time every once in a while. And what you can do once you get into that site, you can skim through all the ones that have been taken for the last 24 hours. And so you just skim down, and if something jumps out, then I slow down and take a good look at it. You can look for days and never find anything, and then you can find a bunch of fantastic things.
And it's curious that NASA wouldn't take these down in...
Sometimes they do,
yeah.
But see, it's a live feed. And if you're right there watching live feed, you have a good chance of catching it. Every computer keyboard has a key that you can press that will capture whatever image is on your screen. And I encourage people to learn where it is on their keyboard if they don't already know, because some of these things you may never see again.
Right. So getting back to Google Earth, because you can only use that on the Earth, or can you use Google Earth and does it turn around and also
up at the top of the page, you'll see, I think it's an image of Mars, and you have a choice of Mars, the Moon, or Earth that Google Pro will take you to.
Right. So
click the one you want.
Okay. So with Google Earth, and when you're looking at the Earth, you're primarily looking at the oceans, on the ocean floor?
No. Antarctica has been a major focus that's included in the book. Beneath the Ocean is another focus. So those are just things that I haven't seen anywhere else before that I have been trying to get out and show people how, you know, what's out there to really see.
So do you have any tips, hacks, as we call them now, I guess, in order to help people if they want to participate and do what you're doing? Because, you know, the more eyeballs, the better, obviously. How do you approach this? I mean, you must do it systematically. In other words, you have to have a game plan. Otherwise, you just
spend hours. Well, it depends. I'll give you the game plan. Like on Mars, the latest thing I've been doing is I found out where water is most likely on the planet. There's another acronym. It's SWIM. SWIM. Don't ask me what the letters stand for, but they're looking for water and ice just beneath the surface of Mars. Water is essential for life. So I figured that would be a really potent area to begin doing searching. So sometimes I'll start out with a plan like that. Sometimes I'll just zero in on someplace and just start cruising. And sometimes I get lucky. You don't instantly find these things unless you're really lucky. And there's sometimes a great deal of time between some of the things I have in the book. For example, I think it was in 2011, I was cruising the northern hemisphere of Mars and found what looks to be like a habitat or a self-contained living space that where a human being or human beings could live. It was 5 years later, when I was doing a similar cruise in the southern hemisphere, that I found another one. The first one was 700 feet in length. And even though the image is kind of blurry, you can tell it is not something that is part of a natural topography of a planet. I don't care which planet you pick. And then the one that was found in the southern hemisphere 5 years later is 7,000 feet in length. I assume the smaller one was built first.
I'm just looking through the series of images you sent me. There's one on page one of the images that you sent me. There's the photo.
You're the only one that has a copy of that, so I can't even have a reference.
Okay, but it looks to be like it's on the red planet. That it's very red and sandy, and then it looks like a garage door, an open garage
door. Oh, now that was an interesting experiment. Normally, when I cruise a planet or I go from east to west or west to east, this time I tipped the planet and started doing the same search going from north to south. If I hadn't done that, I would never have discovered 27 entrances all in a line going into the interior of Mars. And they're all set very, very similar in structure. They're all in a line spread out over 16 miles. And they range in width from 400, round figures, from 400 feet to 1,000 feet.
Across.
The horizon, yes, across. And they look like warehouse entrances, or, you know, I don't know how else to describe them.
Yeah.
And that's big, you know, 1,000 feet across. Anything we can fathom can fly into that. Anything we have that's man-made on this planet can fly into one of the smaller entrances, which is 400 feet.
And there are 27 of them from the South Pole of Mars to the North Pole.
It's going north. And I'm not saying it's spread out that whole way, but it is on a north-south axis. It's spread out over 16 miles, and there's 27 of these entrances.
Wow.
That blew my mind. And that is a way of confirming what Haiman Nasheed said back in December of 2020. Now, he was the head of Israeli space security for nearly 30 years. Wonderful credentials. He'd won many awards, just incredible credentials. And in the Jerusalem Post in 2020, in December, he went public about a number of things. And I hope, let's see, maybe I can find that page, because there's some quotes that are there that should be shared with your audience.
Page 8. It's page 8. Professor Haiman Hesed, again, head of Israel's security space program from 1981 to 2010. Also a three-time recipient of the Israeli Security Award. So this guy has credentials, to say
right. that. And keep that page open since you can access that quicker than I can. I've highlighted two sentences there. Read that to your audience. It's entirely a quote from him, but those that are highlighted are important.
All right. This is his statement, Professor Chaim Eshed's statement as published in the Jerusalem Post article, and that was from December 8th, 2020. Quote, the UFOs have asked not to publish that they are here. Humanity is not ready yet. Trump was on the verge of revealing, but the aliens in the Galactic Federation are saying, wait, let people calm down first. They don't want to start mass hysteria. They want to first make us sane and understanding. And then he goes on to say, they have been waiting for humanity to evolve and reach a stage where we will generally understand what space and spaceships are. There is an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. They, too, are researching and trying to understand the whole fabric of the universe, and they want us as helpers. And he also writes, or says in this interview in the Jerusalem Post, there's an underground base in the depths of Mars where their representatives are, and also our American astronauts.
And then I find those entrances all in a line. I go, isn't that interesting? Between that and those two habitats, that clearly shows to me that we have human beings on the planet right now. And why they maintain this other space program with outdated rocketry, it's almost like they're using that to distract the public from what's really going on.
Dog and pony
and
show.
That sounds like an expensive distraction, but clearly that must be what they're doing, because there's no way that they're blasting rockets to Mars to get this kind of operation going.
No, not using old-fashioned rocket fuel.
No.
And think about that. If that is in fact the case, that they have this dog and pony show, like window dressing to distract us, meanwhile, there's this secret space program, and they're using, who knows what, anti-gravitics, what technology it would, you know, to get a base to Mars and establish a colony there. People are dying to this day in horrible accidents. We had the shuttle disasters. All of that is unnecessary. So they have a lot to answer for. Let's put it that way. When this is all said and done. All right, Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. Mary Joyce stays with us. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, and delve further into some of these remarkable Google Earth images, all curated nicely in the brand-new book. Stay with us. Back with more in a moment.
Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Welcome back. Mary Joyce is with us, and she's a journalist, author, and the founder, creator of Skyships Over Cashiers.com, and her brand new book, Spy in the Sky. And these are, many of them, Google Earth images. And on Google Earth, you can take images, or you can find images, not only on Earth, but also on the Moon and on Mars. And just another quick tip. You've pointed this out previously. When you're looking for something, when you find something remarkable, take a note of, you want to pin it and take a note of the coordinates, right?
That's correct. Right.
Because,
a lot of people don't know that they can print the screen, whatever's on your computer screen. There's a button to hit that, and that will save whatever you're seeing. And that's so important, because so many of these things that I have found, as soon as I post them on the website, they disappear, or they get blurred, or they get totally distorted. So if you find something important, please hold on to it.
How long do you have to look? Let's say you're looking in the Antarctic. How long do you have to look typically before you get a hit?
Okay, once you get your first hit, then it becomes a little bit easier. I want to give full credit to a young, to a woman. Her name is Mary Hall. And she had a stroke at a very young age. She's probably about 50 now. And for a while she was bedridden, and she amused herself by using Google Earth and exploring things. About a year ago, in May of 2021, she started exploring Antarctica. She spent 4 months looking for something that might be interesting. And one day she found this, it looks like a black crack in the ice. And she went delving. You can go down and you can delve real deep with Google Earth. And she found the remains of an ancient city. Well, once I found that out, then I began to explore myself, and I realized how she had found that. So after 4 months of hard work from her, I was kind of given a jump start on how to find these images myself. Between the two of us, we ended up finding the ruins of five different ancient cities beneath the ice in Antarctica. The ice in Antarctica is melting really, really fast, so all sorts of stuff is being discovered. Now, here is something that I think is really important to emphasize. Most scientists agree that Antarctica has been covered with ice for 34 million years. So what's being uncovered now is the oldest thing we have ever heard of. People think the Great Pyramid's old. It's less than 5,000 years old. Compare 5,000 years to 34 million. I mean, the mind can't even comprehend it. So these are truly extraordinary things to discover.
And again, speaking to my live stream producer, Ryan, if you go to page 2 that I sent you, and it's the second image, and that is one of the ancient cities that appears to be emerging from Antarctica's ice. If you could put that up on the screen. And you write here, Mary, an ancient metropolis discovered emerging from Antarctic melting ice back on September 18th, 2021 by Mary Hall, who found it using Google Earth. A portion of that city shown above, and then you've increased the photo contrast to so the city walls are instantly recognizable. And again, when you look at this image and you zoom in, you can see these can't be natural formations. They're right angles. There's an intelligence behind whatever created this.
Now, I only sent you the one image, which is a good one, and you either have it up or going to put it up. But on some of them, the cities spread out like cities do now today on Earth. There's one that looks like it's stretched out along a river. It's got that kind of an organic flow to it. So the cities then, like the cities now, will evolve somewhat organically.
And have you gone back to check to see whether these are still visible on Google Earth, or have they been blurred or erased somehow?
In the book, I show, I don't know what the state of them is right now. I haven't checked them in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I have some in there where you can see where they have deliberately blurred them. And I will have the shot that I took a screenshot of, and I will have what they did often within a day of me posting it.
All right. I want to go back to the another image that you sent me that I want to put up on the screen here. And there's a sort of a wide shot of this, and it's very yellow. And then you zoom in, and it looks like some sort of a circular or a round disc, and almost like it landed and it slid along the surface and then came to rest. Do you know which one I'm referring to?
Yes, I do. And another thing you can do with Google Earth Pro is you can measure things, which, you know, in feet or yards or kilometers or whatever. And it's a circular shaped UFO that's about 400 feet in diameter. And you can see the skid mark. And I've measured the skid mark, and it's over 4,400 feet in length. And then you can see where this thing has like crashed into the soil of the planet.
I'm sorry, did you say Mars? This is resting on Mars?
Yes, that's Mars.
Wow. And what is that yellow band?
It almost looks like that was, and I can only guess on this, it looks like that image was caught when this was crashing in, because it looks like it was heat generated streak marks.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me. And it also has a white reflection off the back. The sun hits Mars also, so there are shadows and reflections, just like we have.
Remarkable, remarkable. Have and again, you're able to mark the coordinates, even on the red planet, 81 degrees, 20 minutes, 51 seconds, or something like that, north, 91, 28, 38, 86 east. That's right.
And I should point this out. I'm trying to share this information with people. And everything I have found, I have tried to find the coordinates so that anybody can copy those coordinates and paste it into, well, or put it into the search bar for Google Earth, and you can find these sites for yourself. And that's a nice place to start. You can take one of those images and then you can explore further from there.
Do you ever get any, I don't know, phone calls in the middle of the night, cryptic messages saying, what are you up to, Mary? What are you doing?
No, I've had some strange things happen, but not like that. And most of those things happened when I had when I first started the website and had a different computer. And I'll just quickly tell you one story. I was working on a UFO story for the website. I didn't finish it. The next morning I got up, went into my office and was going to finish it. Couldn't find it. Well, what happened was all of my UFO files had disappeared, every single one of them. But everything else I had on my computer was there. I called in the guy who was the head of computer services for the university here close to me, and he came to my home and checked it out. He said he couldn't even find remnants of it in the bowels of the computer. He'd never seen anything like it. He didn't know how it was done. So that would probably be the most unusual thing that's happened to me.
White, I don't know. Clean.
I won't stir up anything with this book.
I am flipping here. Forgive me. I'm flipping through as we're talking because I'm trying to find this, and I'm listening intently, but I'm trying to find this another image that you sent me in the book. It almost looks like almost like a bullet hole because the edges around this opening are very jagged. On the top, I don't know if
is it one of the few black and white pictures?
No, it's this is one of the two. I found it now on page 26. It's one of the two entrances. Now we're bouncing back to the Antarctic. Two entrances into Antarctica's interior. And
so we're just going to jump your audience all over the place today. Now we're back on Antarctica. I love
it.
We are.
Well, I'm just looking at the images that you sent me, and I'm kind of
That's a good one. That's a good one. And
what can you tell me about this entrance?
Well, there's a good story with that one, too, as far as cover-up goes. Found two entrances into Mars. One of them looks like it has a metal awning over it, and it's at an angle, so I can't get precise measurements of it.
Sorry, Antarctica. You said Mars. We're back on Antarctica.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yes, Antarctica. I see the metal. I see the metal dome over the entrance.
Yeah. But it's at an angle, so you can't really measure the width of it. The other one, which on that page is right next to it, is a straight-on shot. And that one's 300 feet across and 100 feet high. Now, that's the one where there's been some really interesting activity. I posted those two together on the website, skyshipsovercashiers.com. And immediately, I think it was the next day, but it was very, very shortly after posting that, it was like somebody picked up a bottle of black India ink and poured it all over it. You couldn't see the entrance at all. The next step was that these two entrances had been covered up, but they still had words on it. And it said Hollow Earth Entrance 1, Hollow Earth Entrance 2. All right. Then the next step of the cover up was those disappeared. And finally, they turned the entire thing into a snowfield, and you couldn't even tell that there ever had been anything there. So I show the steps of the cover-up, and again, by pressing that screen button on my keyboard, I was able to save these things.
All right, another time awaits. Mary Joyce stays with us, skyshipsovercashiers.com. Again, the new book, Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. Back with more of our conversation right after these.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
We're back with Mary Joyce, journalist, author, the brand new book, The Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond, and the website, skyshipsovercashiers.com. I'm just going to work through another image that you sent me so that Ryan can put this up on the screen. And this looks like it's, well, it's in the ocean, and it looks like it might be off the coast of California. And it's just, I can't really zoom in. Maybe I can find
it. Here, I can explain it. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I found a whole series of ancient structures beneath the surface of the Pacific, all the way from Alaska down to the Baja Peninsula. I think the one that you have was one that looks like an underwater airport.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's in the ocean between, or it's the Bay of California, I think. Yep. But it's east of Baja. It's between Baja and Mexico.
It's east of the Baja Peninsula. You're right.
And next to it, I also sent you a picture of the Spokane airport. And you can see how the runway that's down deep beneath the ocean and the runway in Spokane look incredibly similar. But here's the difference. The longest airport runway in the world is just slightly over 3 miles. That one that's under the ocean is, I think it's 89 miles long, or 89 miles in length. So we're talking humongous. Every structure I found along the west coast of California and Baja and Canada, they're huge, huge structures. So whatever intelligence created those, they probably were a totally different species because everything is so huge.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. It does. It looks like an airport. Any idea what the depth of the water is there?
No, I wish that I had done that. I did not do that in the book. I've got the length of the runway and where it's located and the coordinates, but no, I didn't get that answer.
And again, Ryan, if you could put up those images, this is possible undersea airport east of Baja Peninsula. And then once you post that, post the image of the runway from the Spokane International Airport. And you're right. It looks pretty much the same. 89 miles.
This yeah. Runway. Isn't that, you've got the page there. I think I'm within a mile of it. I know.
Yes, 89 miles long. And again, have you gone back to check the coordinates for this one to see if it's still there?
I'm going to have to do that. As you know, I wanted your audience to know that you're the one who gave me the impetus to do this book.
Ah.
And I've been collecting all this information. This idea kind of resided in the back of my head. And you and I had a conversation. And by the time you were done talking to me, I thought, I got to do that. So you get the credit for me getting off my butt and making this happen. And well, I want your audience to know that.
Thank you. That's very kind, Mary. I played a very, very small role. I simply reminded you of something.
Well, you kicked me in the butt. So, I mean, that was good.
You know what? Why don't we employ our listeners? Let's put them to work. Let me give them the coordinates and, you know, they can check these things out and see if it's still there. Again, we're talking about a possible undersea airport east of the Baja Peninsula. The coordinates on Google Earth are 26 degrees, 50 minutes, 31 seconds north. Again, 26 degrees, 50 minutes, 31 seconds north, 100 degrees, 37 minutes, 0 seconds west. I think I read those out correctly. That's the way you're supposed to.
But what you might want to do is to just show it on your screen. Show the coordinates on the screen, then people can more easily jot them down.
There you go.
They're confusing. Okay. Talking coordinates is like listening to Japanese.
Right. Okay. So I'll give Ryan, you put those coordinates up. 26, 50, 31 north, 110, 3700 West. He'll put those up. That's a great idea. And check it out and let us know. Has that image been obliterated or blurred? When putting this book together, Mary, what would you say was your biggest find, your favorite find from Google Earth?
From Google Earth. I think what's going on Mars is incredibly important. That is giving us a glimpse of our future. That is showing us what's currently going on. I tend to want to look forward rather than backward. And the discoveries on Mars, I think, are the most outstanding in my own opinion. But as far as archaeology goes, the things beneath the ocean and the things that are coming up from the Antarctic are pretty incredible too.
Right. I don't have these images to put up on the screen, but can you talk to me a little bit about these undersea pyramids in the Bahamas? Do you remember those on page?
Yeah, and there's a personal 56? Story that goes with that. I used to live on Cocoa Beach between Patrick Air Force Base and the Kennedy Space Center. And one day I was with a friend and we were having drinks at the pier and got into a conversation with a couple, and they were all excited. They were divers and they had been diving off of Vero Beach, Florida, and they had found a pyramid. And what happens is there is a sandy bottom to the Atlantic. And when there's storms, big storms, it will churn up the sand. And a lot of the treasure hunters will then fly in low planes to see if they can find treasures. And some of these pyramids become visible under those conditions. Well, I started using Google Earth in my great detective work here and found two pyramids south of Paradise Island in the Bahamas. And that's another cover-up story, because I have the original images that I found. And then shortly after that, they went in and put new satellite strips. Well, one of the strips was really small, and it just happened to have been placed right where those pyramids are. So that's the kind of craziness that goes on with the cover-ups.
Remarkable. Remarkable. Let's see here. Alaska. Can we move up to the Alaskan coast here? Evidence of ancient civilizations off Alaska's coast. And you give a shout out to someone, Colin Andrews, for suggesting you explore a particular area off the southern coast of Alaska.
Now, Colin Andrews may be somebody that your listeners, or at least some of them, might be familiar with. He is known for his work with discovering and getting photos and analyzing crop circles. And so how he got down beneath the water of the ocean, I don't know, but he found something he found peculiar. And the first thing I found under his direction was like a square rectangle of horizontal lines, all parallel. And I think they're like 5 miles in length, and they're all parallel in a perfect box. Well, what's that doing on the bottom of the ocean? And then it's like you can see perhaps roads that connect that with something else. It gets rather intricate, and it is beyond describing with words other than what I just told you.
Right.
The rest of it's really confusing.
Amazing. I'm sorry. I'm standing here looking, or sitting here looking at these images. Evidence west of Gorda, another unusual pattern of equally spaced perpendicular lines on the ocean floor directly west of the town of Gorda, which is south of Big Sur State Park. And I mean, this is even more elaborate. These lines kind of crisscross a little bit, but again,
right. You have parallel lines in one direction and parallel lines in another direction. I think that whole formation is 28 miles in one direction and 25 miles in the other direction.
Yes.
It looks like some farmer's field, except the dimensions are so big. Some of the strips there that would be like rows of produce, let's say, or crop, I think are over a mile in width.
Yeah, 1.43 miles in width.
So we're not talking something small.
South of Long Beach, evidence of a third California coastal ruin about 46 miles south of the Malibu structure. Well, first of all, we should talk a little bit about the Malibu structure.
We talk about what gets me started on stuff. Back in 2014, somebody found this huge structure off of Malibu, and it's huge. The roof you can measure on Google Earth, and it's like 3 miles across, and it's sort of like, anyhow, it's flat. The side view, when you look at it, the roof is being held up by pillars. And when I found that out, I thought, that's probably not the only thing along the California coast. So I spent a great deal of time just cruising the coast up and down, and ended up finding things from Alaska down to Baja.
The Malibu structure, you do have a picture of it in the book. And you're right. When you see it on the side angle, you do see pillars, what appear to be pillars, holding up this massive.
Now, to make it even more interesting, that particular area is where people see a lot of UFOs. So there's two possibilities for the origin of these that I've come up with. One is it's some kind of alien civilization. Two, who knows? Maybe it's a remnant from ancient Lemuria, which is also known as Pan or Mu, which was a civilization supposedly that sunk into the Pacific Ocean. Well, that has been dismissed as myth, but when you begin to find these structures along the West Coast, you go, it could be part of that.
Right.
So it's either very ancient or it's ET. And if somebody has another idea, I'd certainly love to hear it.
And our Preston Dennett has done a lot of research and work in terms of UFOs coming out of the submersibles. These are submersible UFOs coming out of that area. People will stand on the beach and just watch these strange lights in the sky coming up out from under the ocean around where this Malibu structure is. And I think we have time just to discuss one more, and it's like the Malibu structure, you write, the one near Isle Coronado is monstrous. It looks like a giant cockroach.
Those are your words. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah.
It's parallel and west of Coronado Island, and it looks like it has sloping. How do you say it? It's like a structure with sloping sides that go out. And it looks like maybe there's a portico that goes around it. And when you look down on it, straight down, those porticos, because it's at an angle, look like dots that are equally spaced going around the side of this. It is twice as long as the island of Coronado. It's that picture that I include in the book is 5 miles long.
I wonder if anyone is thinking about organizing some kind of a expedition to, I don't know, sending a submersible down there with a camera or something.
I think that'd be great.
All right. Well, that's just a sample of some of the remarkable images you're going to find in Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. And you can participate too. Just go on to Google Earth and choose either the Earth or the Moon or the Mars. Make sure that you take screenshots. That's so important. And whatever you find, maybe send them to Mary.
Well, I think maybe you'd like them too. So
absolutely.
They can let either one of us know about it. And if somebody finds something really good, let's share it with people. That's why I did this book. It's like a mission. Hey, you guys, look at what's happening around here. And it's important. So if people find something, that's great. We'll run with it. Like I said, it was a gal confined to her bed who first got me started on finding the discoveries in Antarctica. I will give people credit. I'm not one of those who wants to hog the stage and say, hey, I'm the one who did this. So if you want an outlet for something you find, contact me at skyshipsovercashers.com.
All right. And in the meantime, Spy in the Sky, amazon.com.
That's correct.
Mary, always a real pleasure. Thank you so much. Fascinating work.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.